The Christians in Corinth were gifted. But there was a problem. Some were gifted with knowledge and wisdom about God. Some could miraculously heal people. Some could speak about God in languages they'd never studied, languages they'd never learned. And then others could interpret those languages and deliver a message from God to the people. Yeah, the Christians in Corinth were gifted. And maybe you're wondering, or maybe you have wondered, as I have wondered before, if God the Holy Spirit gave those gifts to the Christians in Corinth, like healing people and speaking in tongues, why not us? Why hasn't he given those same gifts to the Christians in this church? Fair question. Good question. And here's a simple answer. If we no longer have those gifts, if we no longer miraculously heal people or speak in tongues, it's probably simply because we no longer need those gifts. Because think about it this way. If we needed them, don't you think God the Holy Spirit would give them? But all that is not to say that just because we don't speak in tongues or heal people, that the Holy Spirit has given us no gifts. He has given us gifts. I see them. Do you want to know what they are? He's given you gifts, and I see them. Some are gifted with knowledge and wisdom about God and a thirst, a desire to learn more. Some are gifted that way. Some are gifted with the ability to organize events, organize meals. Some bring great food to those meals. That's a gift. That's a way you can serve people, by bringing great food, right? Some can fix the furnace, or fix other things, or set the air conditioning. Some can play music. Some can sing along loudly so the rest of us can follow. That's a gift, too. Some can watch kids during worship. That's a gift. Some know just what to say to me as they walk out of church so that their pastor is encouraged. I appreciate that gift, and that is a gift. Some can count the money. Some can handle the money. Some can mow the lawn. Some can clean this place. I could go on for a long time. I think about it all, and it's beautiful. Because the Christians in this church have been gifted by the Holy Spirit. But just like in Corinth, there can be a problem. What was their problem in Corinth, and what can be our problem today? 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3, once more. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I can have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. So again, did they have some incredible gifts at Corinth? Yes. But the problem was that something was missing. What was missing? Love. And love here is this wonderful word in Greek. Maybe you've heard it. It's agape. Agape love. It's a special kind of love. It's love that serves someone else without wanting anything back. It's self-sacrificing love. Or let's use some of the gifts that were listed here in Corinth as an example. It's speaking in foreign languages, speaking in tongues, the wonders of God, so that someone else might be built up in the Lord, not so that you might be admired for that gift. It's prophesying the wonders and mysteries of God, just so that someone else might learn, and not so that I might be admired for my wisdom. It's, wow, and these are some big steps, big gifts. It's selling all I possess and giving it to the poor. It's surrendering my body to the flames, as was written, and that means like the flames of persecution. It's doing that so that God might finally be glorified, not so that I might be admired for the sacrifices I'm willing to make for my devotion to God. Or what about some of the things we might be gifted with? It's serving in this church. It's serving your neighbor at home. It's serving your Savior with whatever gift you have. Not so that you might be admired, but so that God might be glorified and praised through you. To do things like that without love, what is it? It's, Paul wrote, it's a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Imagine that for me, two cymbals, somebody's holding them. And there's no orchestra playing with them. There's no other instruments playing with them. And somebody bangs those cymbals right in front of your face. Is that a nice sound? That's what Paul says using your gifts without love as the motivating factor is. It's somebody, it's you banging cymbals in someone's face. It's sound without beauty. It's noise without purpose. A sound that actually becomes offensive to your ears. So consider the gifts we've been given as a church by the Holy Spirit of God, and consider our motivation when we use them. Is it always out of agape love that we serve our neighbor, that we serve our Savior? Or will you admit that we sometimes have that same problem the Corinthians did? I mean, are you honest enough to look in a mirror and see what's truly there? A person who's been gifted by the Holy Spirit of God. A person who can use those gifts selfishly to gain praise, to gain admiration for yourself. A person who can be the resounding gong, the clanging cymbal, banging in God's face. Something that actually sounds offensive to God's ears. Something that should be silenced, muted, destroyed. Because our love is so, shall I say, complicated or impure, polluted. And if that's true, if you're willing to admit that's true, then I hope you can see that this is true too. You need someone to love you like you are incapable of loving anyone else. Thankfully, you know someone like that. You know someone who always loves perfectly. Someone like this. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That's Jesus. Jesus has compassion for the harassed and the helpless, for people who can't rescue themselves from their own bad situation. That's good news for you. Or think about when Jesus was hanging from a cross, this special moment. What did he say? When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. What a moment. Someone who is at his lowest, someone who is on a cross, someone who is experiencing the worst thing he's ever experienced, yet he still thinks about the welfare of others. He still thinks about his mother and his disciple, even when he's at his lowest. You know that guy. You know him. And when that guy happens to be the Son of God who cares immensely for you, that's good news for you. Because that leads us to this. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said that, and then Jesus did that. He laid down his life as a substitute for yours. He claimed every loveless moment in your life, every selfish motivation in your life, every sin in your life. He claimed them as his own. Then he suffered the consequences for them on the cross. Realize what that means. They are not your consequences anymore. He claimed them. He took them. He took the hell. He took the damnation. He took them away from you. They don't belong to you anymore. He took them, and then he gave you something else. He gave you something of his own. Innocence. Innocence. The way he always loved perfectly, the way he never became guilty of sin, he gives that to you. You are the perfect one now. When God listens to you, he does not hear the resounding gong, the clanging cymbal of sin, of selfishness, of lovelessness. When God listens to you, nobody hears. He hears only the beautiful melody of righteousness played by his Son, Jesus Christ. That's pretty good news for you. News so good that it messes everything up in a way. Because we're supposed to be just like everything else, just like everyone else in this world. We're supposed to be using these gifts that we've been given for our own gain, for our own service all the time. But the good news of Jesus, it messes that up, because now I'm ready to love you like Jesus loves me. And now you're ready to love me and everybody else like Jesus loves you. What does that look like in reality? Like, you go home and what does that look like? When I was thinking of that question, I thought of a story, and maybe this story will help you. It's a story about Jim and Della. Jim and Della were young and poor. And that's bad news for a husband and wife on Christmas Eve. Della had been saving up to buy something for Jim, but it wasn't enough. She let down her hair. Hair so long that it reached below her knee. If a queen had lived near them, Della would have washed and dried her hair where the queen could see it. Because Della knew that her hair was more beautiful than any queen's jewels or gifts. So Della put her hair back up again, went to the salon, and asked, "Will you buy my hair?" Then she left with enough money for Jim's gift. See, Jim had a gold watch, a very nice gold watch. It had belonged to his father and to his father before that. If a king had lived in the same house with all of his riches, Jim would have looked at his watch every time they met, because Jim knew that no king had anything so valuable. So, when Della saw a gold chain to go with Jim's gold watch, she knew it was the perfect gift. The perfect gift. She waited nervously for Jim to get home. "Will he still love me? Will he still want me without my long hair?" she wondered. Then she heard footsteps. Jim walked in. He paused and stared with a strange expression on his face. Not surprise. Surprise we would understand. Not anger. Not anything that Della was expecting. He paused and stared. And soon she understood why. Jim pulled a present from his pocket. Della eagerly unwrapped it and let out a cry of joy, then tears. It was the combs. The combs she had eyed through the store window. The combs that were too expensive and too beautiful for the young and the poor. The combs for a woman with beautiful, long hair. Not all was lost, not yet. Jim, Della said, you haven't seen your gift yet. So she eagerly held out the watch chain. Isn't it perfect, Jim? Where's your watch? I want to see how they look together. Jim just sat down and smiled. Della, he said, let's put our Christmas gifts away for a while. And I imagine Della at this point was confused at the least, perhaps even disappointed. But soon she understood why Jim said that. Jim explained, to buy the combs, I sold the watch. How does that story leave you feeling? It's a condensed version of a short story called The Gift of the Magi. You should read the whole thing. It's good. But how does it make you feel? It's a bit tragic, isn't it? When I read it and finish it, it almost leaves me with a sense of sadness or loss or like, what could have been, you know? That's just at first, though, because the more you let that story sit, something more mature develops. This isn't sad at all. It isn't really even tragic at all. That story is beautiful. To use your precious gift, your hair, your watch, to serve someone else like that, to think entirely of them and nothing of yourself, to serve them like that, what is that? That's it. That's love. That's agape love, self-sacrificing love. That's how Jesus loves you. That's what he did for you on the cross. And that's how we love each other now. That's how we love Jesus now. So I'll leave you with this. You have been given some amazing things. You've been given forgiveness of your sins and all the comfort that brings. You've been given life in eternity with God. And in this life, until you get to that life in eternity, you have been given gifts from the Holy Spirit of God. Gifts you can use to serve your Savior, your neighbor, your church, your family. So now I ask, what hair will you cut? What watch will you sell? How will you use your precious gift to serve your Savior God? Amen.